The baby Jesus is likable. Who wouldn't love a sweet little baby wrapped in soft cloths, surrounded by furry animals and adoring visitors? How lovely to make nativity scenes of this picture and to celebrate the warm, joyful, spiritual feelings that come with Christmas. By its very nature, the incarnation makes God accessible. But what if this safe and familiar picture lulls us into believing that God has been contained and tamed? What if we forget that the fullness of God, the infinite and absolute power of the universe, dwelled in the cuddly baby Jesus? Then our Christmas would be too safe and too small, and our God would be too safe and too small. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we go through Advent, preparing to meet Jesus face to face, help us to remember that we are in for a holy encounter. In the presence of your power, move us to worship and to surrender and to be changed. In the presence of your word, move us to greater understanding and obedience. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen. So if we are in danger of our God being too small and too safe, tonight's text from Colossians is here to jar us out of our complacency. Anything which is too big for the human mind to grasp, or too powerful for the human being to control, is uncomfortable and often unlikable. As a personal example, I hate wind. I can live with fairly extreme temperatures of hot and cold or humidity, but I hate it when it's windy. I think it's because the wind is an inescapable sensory reminder that the creation in which I live is not under my control. And that rubs my control freaky streak the wrong way. A strong wind puts us in our place in creation. Imagine then the force of the mighty wind, the breath and spirit of God that blew through the formless void of the universe and began to create the world in which we live. The raw power and the explosion of omniscience required to create perfect complexity out of nothingness. That is the power of the Creator God. We come face to face with nature, which is the product of creation, all the time. And even that fills us with awe. How much more awe-inspiring and daunting is the prospect of coming face to face with the Creator himself? That is exactly what happens in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. The word image here doesn't mean a copy or a likeness. In the words of one of my favorite commentators, the image is the projection of God's self onto the canvas of our humanity, the embodiment of the divine in the human world. All the power is still there, but it's visible. More than half of this text from Colossians is spent reminding us that to come face to face with the visible Jesus is to come face to face with the ultimate creative power in the universe. In Him, all things in heaven and on earth were created. All things have been created through Him and for Him. Why does it matter that all things have been created through Him? It mattered to the writer of Colossians because the Colossians had a problem. And it's a problem we may share in our own way. All the letters in the Bible are proclamations of the gospel in response to problems. This letter was written to the Colossians because they were wandering and wavering Christians. They believed that the Lord Jesus was powerful, but maybe not powerful enough. We don't know all the details of their spiritual problems, but we do know that their culture was polytheistic and filled with all kinds of intellectual and spiritual currents that would later take shape in Gnosticism. When it became apparent to the Colossian church that following Jesus didn't take away all of life's struggles and hardships, these Christians decided that maybe they should hedge their bets and try to placate some other spirits. For some, this meant rigorously subduing the body through extreme ascetic practices, so that they would have visions. And then in those visions, they would ask the good angels to help them out and protect them against the evil spirits. To modern ears, that all sounds completely crazy. Until we ask ourselves, to whom or to what do we turn when we think Jesus isn't powerful enough? Do we try to play God ourselves? How far will we go to placate the forces of our culture? Do Americans ever rigorously subdue or even mutilate their own bodies to achieve visions of self-worth and beauty? It happens. Every time the Colossians appealed to alternative powers, they were putting their trust in the wrong place. This text was designed to remind them of the big picture. How the fullness of the Almighty God's power dwelled in Jesus throughout creation. And then how the redemption of that creation was accomplished in Him and through Him. That He was their Lord and they didn't need to turn anywhere else. To remind the Colossians of that big picture, the writer of this letter actually cut and pasted words that were familiar to them, with a little editing. This passage is called the Christ Hymn, and scholars think that the original was used in Christian worship either as a hymn sung to music or a chanted affirmation of faith. It would be sort of like our church getting a letter from a trusted pastor that reminded us to pay attention to and believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. The Colossians were wasting their time placating other spirits because the fullness of God dwelled in Jesus. In Jesus Christ and in no other. When the scripture says He is the firstborn of all creation, that doesn't mean Jesus was a mortal creature like us. It's a statement of rank. He stands with God above everything else. And every time we underestimate the power of Jesus, we need to be reminded of the same thing. We may underestimate Jesus because it is psychologically and intellectually tidier. We may underestimate Jesus because we are just plain too worn down. Or we may be lulled into oversimplifying the incarnation, gazing down at the baby in the manger as if we were the parents, instead of gazing up as if we were the children. This text reminds us that God's power was not diminished in Jesus. It was concentrated. When we come face to face with Jesus, we are face to face with the absolute power of God. My brother Brian is a biologist who works for the U.S. government, and he is now on his second short-term rotation of duty in the Gulf of Mexico, where he has been assigned to lead teams of scientists evaluating the damage from the BP oil spill and planning the cleanup. This past week, he sent us a picture of himself on a beach in Pensacola, Florida, where it's still cold. And in this picture, you can see thousands, probably there are millions, of little dark spots on the white sand beach. And according to my brother, those spots are actually little prune and raisin-sized sandy tar balls of oil. That enormous gushing flow of oil has broken down and been scattered into these tiny little balls. I suppose it is a good thing for an oil spill to diffuse into tiny balls, but it is a terrible thing for the gospel. Colossians was written to people who couldn't grasp that cosmic power was concentrated in Jesus Christ. They imagined that divine power was diffused partially in Jesus, but partially in other spirits, creating a spiritual chaos of competing demands and fruitless loyalties. When we talk about preparing our hearts for Christ's coming, what we really mean is to clean up our own spiritual chaos and rid ourselves of fruitless loyalties. It's time to stop contorting ourselves to placate lesser powers than Jesus Christ. No is a perfectly fine response to meaningless cultural demands that eat away at our time, our money, and our emotional and spiritual energy. To hear the Christ hymn from Colossians is to remind ourselves that all those little things that eat away at us are subsumed by loyalty to Jesus Christ. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Even more importantly, to hear the Christ hymn from Colossians is to be reminded that our individual stories and our individual struggles with these competing loyalties are part of a much larger story. Jesus Christ holds together the human story from creation to the cross to the resurrection to the coming kingdom. The creation not only comes into being through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven, on earth, or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. That baby in the manger was going somewhere. He was going to the cross. This is a big picture message about the ultimate power and purpose of Jesus Christ. There is no way to hear the transcendent Christ hymn in Colossians and think that God is small or tame. So just one line of questioning remains. Where does that leave us and our nativity sets? Where does it leave us on Christmas Eve when we are compelled to think about just how small and physically vulnerable the baby Jesus must have been? How do we come face to face with the Word made flesh and the servant while simultaneously coming face to face with the absolute power of God? And if you know Scripture, you wonder how the Christ hymns of Colossians and Philippians hold together. How could the fullness of God dwell in Jesus Christ while he emptied himself and humbled himself? Friends, this is precisely the miracle of the incarnation. That the power of the God of creation was always in Jesus, but was displayed in self-restraint. That the Christ child, that Christ child who grew into a man, was fully human and fully divine. A revelation wrapped in a mystery. To come face to face with God in Jesus is mind-blowing. Let's bring this home to the family room, those nativity sets, and the church on Christmas Eve, which may involve costumed children if you come at 5 o'clock. Where is the absolute power of God in that? That which is mind-blowing jolts that which is comfortably familiar. This year, as you hear the story of Christmas again and imagine how it unfolded, I invite you to remember who the baby was. Remember and respond to the power concentrated in the Messiah. As you participate in the familiar narrative, enter into the shock of the shepherds. Their priorities and loyalties were realigned by a face-to-face encounter with the power of God. They felt compelled to go and find Jesus. Then they returned to their lives, changed by that encounter, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. As you participate in the familiar sacrament tonight, remember with awe that the power of God wasn't boxed in by a manger. In Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. Nor was the power of God boxed in by a tomb. The risen Lord Jesus Christ is alive and at work. Meet him here. Then return to your life, changed by the encounter, glorifying and praising God for all that you have heard and tasted and seen. Amen.